Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving if you're listening in the States. And for all of us, we return now to our ongoing study of this great verse, Romans 8:28. You might remember that when we left off on Wednesday, we focused on the all things that God is causing to work together for our good. And when I say our, I mean those of us who love God and who are called according to His purpose. As all of this verse says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I have said that all things are not the most important words here. Rather, the name God is. God is the one who is causing all things to work together for our good. Without Him, nothing turns out for our good, but with Him, all things turn out for our good. Here is the sovereignty and providence of God again. Second, we emphasize that all things are not good in and of themselves. All things includes the bad things, and these are not good. Do not make the mistake of interpreting this verse to mean that all things are good in and of themselves. That is not what the Apostle Paul is saying. Furthermore, we asked, does all things literally mean all things? And we said, yes, yes it does. Things that are discouraging, disheartening, dispiriting. Bad things, trials, troubles, tribulations, illnesses, accidents, disappointments, and failures. As it was said by our friend Pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones, God is overruling everything in the whole cosmos for our good. That is a little review and used here to get us back on track. One of the questions that comes up when we talk about this all things is our sin. What about our sin? Does God cause even our sin to work together for our good? The answer to this is also yes. But obviously, this requires clarification. I know we are at the end of the week, but I invite our undivided attention because I want to make sure we properly understand God here. I have three points I want to make. Are you with me? Okay, good. Point number one. Our sin is evil, and we are each completely responsible for it. The Bible is clear on this. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3, 23. We read this in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. That makes clear personal responsibility for sin. I am held responsible by God for my sin and my sin alone. No one else's. You are held responsible by God for your sin and your sin alone. No one else's. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. This same truth emerges in Isaiah 3, 10 and 11. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat of the fruit of their actions. Woe to the wicked! It will go badly with him, for what he deserves will be done to him. I hope you are getting this, and Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 settles into our minds and hearts. Those who do righteousness will eat the fruit of their actions, whereas whatever the wicked do, it will go badly with them. Whatever they deserve, the wicked will receive from God. We sin, and we are each personally responsible for our sin. Isaiah 3:10-11. Furthermore, the Bible is clear that God does not in any way tempt us to sin, nor does he make us sin. To teach otherwise is to blaspheme God. If you forget everything else I say today, please remember this. James 1:13. James 1:13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." Did you get that? God does not tempt anyone. We can never rightfully say, "God tempted me to sin." Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. James 1:13. Point number one, our sin is evil, and we are each completely responsible for it. Point number two, God does not ever approve of our sin. He does not let us get by with it. He does not leave sin unpunished. We have had an excellent and resounding example of this right here recently on God Is. Do you remember we went back to 2 Samuel and we read of the shocking and tragic sins of King David? Here was a man after God's own heart, says Scripture. David loved God, and yet David failed God. He put into action his double iniquity, adultery and murder. And what did we learn the more we read? The Lord did not approve of these sins. Instead, the Lord called them evil. 2 Samuel 11:27 says, "The thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord." What an indictment against David. And then, as we discussed, David's life filled up with trouble and many tribulations thereafter. My friends, David did not get by with his sin, and neither do we. Our sin must be punished, and either we take shelter in Christ for the full and complete forgiveness of our sins. God has poured out his wrath on Jesus on our behalf at the cross. Or we do not shelter in Jesus. We reject Christ's offer of forgiveness, and we face the full wrath of God for our sin at the great white throne judgment soon coming. Either way, all sin must be judged by the just judge, Jesus Christ. Having made these two points, I hope strongly, let me now make my third point. God sovereignly and providentially overrules our sin for our good. I repeat, God sovereignly and providentially overrules our sin for our good. He does. When Romans 8:28 says God causes all things to work together for our good, he includes sin as part of the all things. However, please hear this. Do not think that because God will sovereignly and providentially overrule our sin and use even this for our good, do not think that means we are not responsible for our sin, or that somehow God approves of it and will not judge us for the evil that we practice. You have to take all three of these points together. We are responsible for our sin. God does not tempt us to sin. God does not make us sin. God does not approve of our sin. God judges us for our sin. And yet, for those who love God, who have been called by God for his purpose, for those who trust Jesus for salvation, for us, God sovereignly and providentially and, yes, mysteriously overrules our sin for our good. And we return to David as our example. So much can be said here, but time is running out. Consider this. If David had not sinned, we would not have Psalm 51 in our Bibles. Psalm 51. We read it recently, this exceptional psalm of repentance for sin. This psalm we turn to so often when we sin and want to express our repentance before Holy God. We would not know it if it were not for David's sin. Did God use David's sin for David's good in David's life? I think he did, and he will do so also in ours. Consider Jesus Christ. You who know him and love him and worship him, our beautiful Lord and Savior, do you remember that if it were not for your sin, you would never have known Jesus, because he would not have had to come to die to take away your sin? Without ever excusing our sin, it is intriguing to see how God so overrules even our sin against him for our good. I do not understand this. I cannot get my head around this. I'm a mere human being, but I trust the testimony of the Bible, God's written word, and this is what Scripture resoundingly affirms. Does God cause even our sin to work together for our good? Yes, he does. And we return to Romans 8, verse 28, Lord willing, on Monday. Join us, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.